Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
Living a holy life means separating yourself from all that is impure and making sure that nothing you do harms a fellow believer. We live in this way to please God, who commands that we be holy even as He is holy. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a six-part series on what happens when God comes to church, taken from 1 Thessalonians. We're going to learn why the church is only holy when each of its members is holy.
Puritans used to say you have to hunt down sin, you have to kill sin, or sin will kill you. I've been reading about that text in Romans during the past weeks, and someday I'll preach a message on it. But for now, to simply point out, the Bible says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God. And by the way, control your body with honor and holiness. Therefore, glorify God in your body, the Bible says. And then the Apostle Paul goes on and he says, don't transgress and get involved in hurting your brother. It says, verse 6, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter. What's that all about? Well, you can maybe say brother or sister. Maybe Paul means it broader than simply a brother in Christ. Maybe also what he's saying is that if you mistreat a brother's wife and get her involved, you have obviously defrauded and transgressed and hurt your brother. Or maybe if you're involved with some young woman inappropriately, and from the standpoint of impurity, and you've introduced her to impurity, you're actually having an effect on some brother someday who will marry her. At any rate, Paul is very, very clear here that in our relationships, there are always relational issues that are involved. There are God issues, as we shall see, but there are relational issues when it comes to this matter of sexual sin. So the question is, what pleases God? And the answer is sexual purity. That's what pleases God. And the next question is, why should we please God? I mean, why bother? Why listen to this message? Why order the CD? Why should you keep hanging in here at this point? Well, let me give you some reasons why we should please God. First of all, you do want to please Him because you love Him, don't you? Don't you want to please somebody that you love? Isn't that the whole motivation of love, is to please? That's what the scripture says right there in verse 1, that you ought to live and to please God just as you are doing, but He says, do it more and more. You want to please God. And pleasing God is the one fact that we cannot rationalize in all of this business. I often think of Joseph when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. He could have justified it rationally. He could have said, nobody's going to know about it. We're going to come armed with a pack of lies if we're found out. Today, you can add to that, we can control pregnancy, we can do all this, and we love one another. And furthermore, as one couple told me, it's much cheaper to live together. And so we can rationalize it all, but the thing that you can't rationalize is God. Joseph said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I don't want to hurt the God I love, he said. And that's the one thing that you can't rationalize. All the lies in the world, all of the deceptions in the world, you can't get around the fact that you're hurting the God you love. You're displeasing God. And so that's one reason. It says that you want to please God. That's characteristic of somebody who has been born of the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you're blowing God off and saying, I don't care what He thinks, then you have all the marks of somebody who does not know Christ as Savior. You're not part of the family. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're listening. But you haven't entered into the family yet. I hope you will. So that's one reason. The other reason is in verse 6. You'll notice I read it briefly a moment ago, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of all these things. Ouch! God is an avenger to those who are involved in sexual immorality. God does this in two ways. First of all, inherently in his moral law. Inherently. There are two kinds of laws. There's the law of the stop sign. You can put up a stop sign and then City Hall can say, hey, we don't need a stop sign there. They can take it down. But there's another law characterized by the law of the fire. The law of the fire says that when I put my hand into the fire, it will get burned. You say, well, City Hall could change that. I mean, the Congress of the United States could change that. I'm sorry, Congress can't change that. Because you see, that's inherent within it. And inherent within sexual sin are certain consequences that can never be expunged or circumvented. Society tells us that isn't true. But Congress can't change that. Hugh Hefner can't change that. You think of all of the broken lives. You think of the degrading experiences that I don't need to tell you about today, because God just put it right into the whole business of sexuality, that there are certain consequences that can't be overcome. And then in the future, God will judge us. You say, well, not us as Christians, because after all, we're under grace, and so it is safe to sin. Did you know that under grace, and how we thank God for grace, but under grace, it's not safe to sin? Because someday, even at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, the Bible speaks about it as a time, it connects it with the word terror. Now, that doesn't mean that God is going to judge us or condemn us, because it is true there is no condemnation which is in Jesus Christ. But when we see our lives just burn up as wood, hay, and stubble, and when we have nothing to offer Jesus, that's why the Bible says live in such a way that you will not have shame at his coming. It's a terrible thing, yeah. Never safe to sin just because you're under grace. Now, I can imagine somebody who's come in here today says, well, you know, this is just like Moody Church. You know, Moody Church is one of these conservative churches, and what do you go there? You get this old-fashioned thing preached at you, and, you know, maybe you're here today and you wished you had gone to some other church where you'd have heard more pleasant things. Well, just in case there's somebody listening who feels that way, Paul knew that you were here, and so he had a word for you. Isn't that wonderful? The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, said, I'm talking to somebody who thinks this is just old-fashioned. So listen, your Bible's open, isn't it? Aren't we people of the book? You'll notice it says in verse 7, for God has not called us for impurity, but holiness. By the way, that's another reason, is the calling of God. But for those of you who think that this is just old-fashioned, here's your verse, verse 8. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Wow. So don't leave here upset with me, because you're very, very uncomfortable. Don't leave here. You just deal with God, okay? I'm out of here. When I finish this message and I've given an invitation, I'll spend the afternoon preparing for tonight, and you've got to deal with God. This is very clearly, the Scripture says, the word from God and not the word from man. Well, the question is how? That's what you're saying, is how do you do it? Well, you'll notice that the Apostle Paul says, abstain, abstain. It's a command. You say, I don't have the strength. True, you don't, but with the power of the Holy Spirit and yieldedness and the prayers of others, you can change. You can change. So you see, what we need to do is to deal decisively with this, whatever God asks you to do. Jesus said, if you have to pluck out your eye, your one eye, so that you no longer lust, of course, he doesn't mean it literally, because you could pluck out one eye and still lust with the other. But Jesus said, in effect, do whatever you just have to do. Just do it. Deal with it. Don't rationalize it any longer. Just deal with it. It may mean canceling your subscription to television. Stay away from degrading movies. Take that card. Practice plastic surgery on it. Strong filter for your internet. And if you're a geek and you can work around it, then become accountable to somebody. We're talking serious stuff here. You say, well, I've invested so much in the direction I'm going, I can't even begin to think that I can pull out. With God's help, you can. Very recently, this letter appeared and it was sent to me, and I want to read it to you. Pastor Lutzer, I'd like to share my story with you. It's a story that began in pain, fear, shame, deceit, and brokenness, but it ends in forgiveness, hope, and renewal. Started a few years ago when I fell into internet pornography. I've been a Christian for many years, and I knew I was hurting Christ and my witness through my sin, but even though I knew it was wrong, the thrill outweighed the guilt. Thanks to my excellent computer skills, I was able to keep it a secret. So for the past 2 years, I was struggling with this issue. I'd go without pornography sometimes for a week or two and then fall back into old habits. I constantly asked Christ for forgiveness, and yet I'd go right back. Outside, I looked like an ideal husband and father and probably a good Christian, and yet inside, I was in my own personal hell.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. You certainly are going to have to listen to Running to Win next time to find how that letter ended, because it ended in victory. But how? And how do we manage our emotions? I've actually written a book by that title, and someone has said this: managing your emotions is great, timeless advice when struggling with emotional issues. Some of the examples were so helpful to me that I've never forgotten them. It is biblically based. I recognize that emotions oftentimes are very positive. They can also be very negative, and you don't have to feel good in order to be spiritual. But it is those emotions that, like wild horses, can run and run and run, and it's almost impossible for us to control them. But thanks to God and thanks to His Word and thanks to His people, we can bring those emotions under control. For a gift of any amount, we're making the book available for you. It is entitled Managing Your Emotions: God's Good Gifts Gone Wrong. Thank you for helping us as we continue to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And you, my friend, are our partners. Thank you very much.
Today, Erwin Lutzer brought more of a message on The Church is Holy, the fourth in a series on what happens when God comes to church. Next time, why spiritual laws must be obeyed. Pastor Lutzer's book on managing your emotions can transform your life. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.